You're listening to Central Time here on the Ideas Network. I'm Rob Ferret. Coming up, do you know what infinity looks like? Our next guest would love to talk to you. She's an expert mathematician who appears in a new Netflix documentary that explores the concept of infinity. Now, it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive. Rob Ferret here with Jill Nadeau. We're here to ask you to invest a few minutes of time to support your future Wisconsin Public Radio listening.
And that's because listener support makes up the largest piece of the funding for the programs that you count on. And that's why your gift now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 is so important.
It is pivotal day two of our two-day challenge. A group of generous members will give $25,000 in matching funds when 500 people, including you, step up to support the programs you count on.
That's right. And it's getting really, really close. We're so excited. It's their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting the WPR programs that inform and inspire you and the entire state of Wisconsin.
Looking for 40 more gifts to hit that goal. I think I'm pretty sure we can do it by the end of the day. I really hope we can do it this hour. We'll see. Maybe it's a long shot. I don't know.
I was hoping.
You can help us get there with your gift. Be one of the 500 people who band together to meet this challenge before midnight. It all starts with your gift right now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
You know, here at Wisconsin Public Radio, we are committed to quality. And that's why we've been around for more than 100 years. And since listener donations make up the largest piece of funding for WPR programs, that quality is possible thanks to you.
Your contribution makes this program possible and so many others as well. When you give, you're part of the quality you hear every day on Wisconsin Public Radio. Make a difference right now with your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And you can put your best foot forward this member drive and ask for the new WPR socks when you give $15 a month or more. They are Argyle, and they're orange and blue, I believe, very snazzy. And they actually show all the services that you rely on every day. The news, the information, the entertainment, all with a Wisconsin perspective, of course. So get your pair today with your gift of $15 a month or more at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Maybe you listen to Wisconsin Public Radio with your kids and enjoy how it sparks conversations. I actually just met a listener at an event, homeschooling a handful of kids, four of them, I believe, and we are part of the curriculum. No joke. The Ideas Network is part of their course of study. So maybe you listen, maybe you use it for education with your kids, or at dinner, you just share something you heard earlier in the day.
Absolutely. Well, we have a long history of helping to educate children, so that's wonderful to hear. And public radio is a start to quality conversations, whether with your family or with your friends. And your support right now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 keeps the connection going.
If you've never given before and you look forward to listening to WPR every day, that's a sign it's time to give. When you spend that much time with Wisconsin Public Radio, that means it's something that's important to you.
And you're important to us because WPR is listener-supported radio. We count on financial participation from people like you, people who care about independent news and conversation and music. And your gift of, let's say, $100 or, you know, maybe it's $10 a month, whatever amount feels right for you really makes a difference at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Our member challenge is still in effect. When 500 people make a gift for WPR by the end of today, $25,000 from generous members is going to be secured for the WPR programs you count on.
It's so exciting. So support independent journalism. It's so important right now. And rich entertainment when you make a gift of $15 a month for WPR. When you do, ask for the new WPR socks. They're navy, they're gold, they celebrate Wisconsin. Take a step today for $15 a month. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Now's a great time to become a sustaining member. It's easy to set up convenient ongoing monthly donations for your bank account or credit card. Get it started at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Mark Menominee says, WPR is like a museum that comes directly into your home. I love that. Tom in Madison says, I'm donating for the wonderful news and programming.
Thank you both so much. We are listener supported. You get it. Thanks for those gifts. How about you now? Make your very important gift online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552 and thank you. This is Central Time. In the world of math, abstract concepts can be tricky to illustrate to help people like me understand them. Disney tried with its 1959 animated feature Donald in Math Magic Land.
The mind knows no limits when used properly. Think of a pentagram, Donald. Now put another inside, a third, and a fourth. No pencil is sharp enough to draw as fine as you can think, and no paper large enough to hold your imagination. In fact, it is only in the mind that we can conceive infinity.
Infinity might be the most difficult thing of all to illustrate or to wrap our heads around. You can join in at 800-642-1234. I weirdly spent some time thinking about infinity. Do you? Has it boggled your mind to think of a concept of something without an end? Do you have a way of thinking about it? Or is this a concept that, like me, you have some trouble with? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or email ideas@WPR.org. Eugenia Cheng is scientist in residence at the School of the Art Institute in Chicago and honorary visiting fellow of pure mathematics at City University of London. Her books include The Joy of Abstraction, An Exploration of Math, Category Theory, and Life. That's out next month. And Beyond Infinity, An Expedition to the Outer Limits of Mathematics. She appears in the new Netflix math documentary, A Trip to Infinity. Eugenia, thanks for joining us again.
Oh, thanks for having me back.
Well, I have like a gist of what infinity means. Can you give us a good starter definition? What is infinity?
Infinity, well, it's very large, isn't it? And it's very mind-boggling. And that's the whole point of it. It's something that we can start to think about, but we, as it were, can't really finish thinking about it. And that can seem scary, but it's also wonderful because it shows, like the clip said, it shows how huge our imaginations are. And that's really the point of mathematics, is to delve into our imaginations.
Now, we've got this symbol. It looks like an 8 tipped over on its side, kind of. Where did that come from?
Oh, gosh. Do you know, I don't know where it came from. Oh. I'm sure someone's going to call in now and say, I can't believe you don't know where that came from. Everybody knows.
I absolutely don't. I think an 8 just fell over sometime. I don't know. Now, how long have mathematicians been working on this concept of infinity?
Mathematicians have been thinking about infinity for thousands and thousands of years. And one of the early investigations of it was with Zeno's paradoxes way back in the ancient Greek times, more than 2000 years ago, when they thought about things like, well, if I'm traveling from A to B, I have to cover half the distance, and then I have to cover half the remaining different distance, and then I have to cover half the remaining distance. And you can see where this is going, right? That takes an infinite number of steps. So does that mean I never get anywhere? And yet I get somewhere every day. So what is going on? Those kinds of paradoxes boggled their minds. And it's right that those boggled their minds because they're very mind-boggling. And it took mathematicians 2,000 years to find ways to pin down how we could talk about that in a rigorous way.
Now, here's something that I spend a weird amount of time thinking about, or I think it's weird anyway. If we take the integers, like 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, right? I get that's infinite because we can always add one more. If we take just the even numbers, 2, 4, 6, 8, and so on, that's infinite because you can always add 2. But hang on, there's twice as many numbers in that first one. So can an infinity be bigger than a different infinity?
Well, that's a very interesting question. I don't think it's weird that you spend a lot of time thinking about that. I think it's great. I think it's wonderful. And that is a weird thing because when you take the even numbers, it seems like you could pair them up with all the numbers, which kind of means that if you take half of infinity, that's the same size as infinity, which kind of makes sense because if you think about some basic concepts regarding infinity, you might think, well, it's the biggest thing, right? So if you add one, it's still going to be infinity. And if you multiply it by 2, then it's still going to be infinity. And if you multiply it by 10, it's still going to be infinity, and so on. So there's a lot of things you do to infinity, and it's still infinity. But it turns out there are some things you can do, and it actually does get bigger. So there really are different sizes of infinity. But a lot of the things we try and do, like adding 1 to it, won't make it any bigger.
Are there mathematical, manipulations of infinities, multiple one infinity plus one infinity or multiplying or things like that?
Yeah, there are. So the set theorists about 100 years ago figured out a way to deal with infinity in a couple of different ways. One is like queuing up, where you really care who's in front of you and who's behind you in the queue. And another is just like counting how many people there are, where you don't mind whether you're in line or not. And it turns out that if you mind what order everyone's in, then it makes a difference. And so one plus infinity in that case is different from infinity plus one, because one plus infinity says one person shows up and then an infinite number of people show up. So that's just an infinite line. Whereas if infinity people show up and then one person shows up at the end, that's like an entire infinity line and then another person. And the funny thing is that last person can't tell who's in front of them in the line, because it can't be the last person of the infinite people. It's like that they can't see. It's that line in front of them goes on to infinity. And I like to think this is like when Shakespeare said forever and a day. Shakespeare knew that forever and a day is longer than a day and forever, because you have to wait through the entire forever and then another day.
We're talking to mathematician Eugenia Cheng, tackling the concept of infinity. Her books include Beyond Infinity, An Expedition to the Outer Limits of Mathematics. She appears in a new Netflix math documentary called A Trip to Infinity. You can join in at 800-642-1234. I think that's out now. Have you watched that new Netflix film? Did it leave you with some unanswered questions, with your mind boggled more or less than it was to begin with? Do you have questions about the concept of infinity? Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234, or email ideas@WPR.org. We'll pick up the conversation coming up here on Central Time. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're talking about infinity with mathematician Eugenia Cheng. Her books include Beyond Infinity, An Expedition to the Outer Limits of Mathematics, and she's featured in a new Netflix film called A Trip to Infinity. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Finite amount of time left in this conversation, so call in now. 800-642-1234 is the number. Let's bring on a caller. Kevin is with us in Janesville. Kevin, hi.
Hey, good afternoon. Just wondering if you know, you just touched on Zeno's paradox. Don't know if you know the bartender version.
I don't.
Infinite number of mathematicians walk into a bar. The first asks for a beer. The second asks for a half a beer, the third for a half of that, and so on and so on. The bartender is fed up, pours two full beers, and sets them up and says, "You mathematicians just don't understand your limits."
Kevin, thanks a lot. Some mathematical humor, Eugenia.
Yeah, that's a good one. And it, just in case people didn't understand it, it's because if you add one and a plus a half plus a quarter plus an eighth and so on, in the limit, according to the definitions of calculus, that comes to two.
Excellent. Kevin, thank you so much for sharing the math joke with us at 800-642-1234. Now, in the Netflix film, Eugenia, I think you say that children get what infinity is. Does it mean that infinity should be easier for us adults to get a handle on?
I think it's not that children get what it is. It's that children, I think, are more comfortable with the idea of not fully understanding something. Mm. And I think that's really important, because I think it's a reason that adults get really put off math, because they feel like they don't understand it. And then maybe someone else in their class at school loudly declared that they found it really easy. And then anyone who doesn't find it easy feels stupid. And so they decide to go and do something else, perhaps an art subject or something that they consider to be more open-ended. But the thing is that none of us actually fully understand it. So if you feel like you don't understand it, you've kind of got the right idea about math. And I think children are so used to not really understanding anything about the world that they're not daunted by the feeling of not understanding infinity. And in fact, they're drawn to it and they're intrigued by it. Just like maybe some people like looking over the edge of a cliff or standing on those glass bridges where you look down into the Grand Canyon or off the Willis Tower in Chicago or something. Now, I wouldn't like standing on one of those glass things because I would get very dizzy. But I love doing that inside my imagination because I know I'm not going to get physically hurt. And so I think it's not that children do understand it. It's that they relish that kind of gap beneath their feet, which I think is wonderful.
Now, I keep running into things where there's this really abstract mathematical concept, and then it has a really direct use or application outside of the world of pure math as well. How about infinity?
Yeah, infinity is like that as well. And I do like to stress that there are kind of two kinds of usefulness with math. There's the direct usefulness, and there's also the indirect kind where we practice using our brain well. And infinity is really important for both, because it's a good place to practice using our brain well to make sure we make arguments that really stand the test of logic. But it also led to the entire development of the field of calculus, which basically enabled the entire of modern life to happen. All of modern technology, starting from electricity, so really everything that we depend on, came from understanding how to fit together infinitely many, infinitely small things.
Now, in this Netflix documentary, there were mathematicians like you, of course, also philosophers and astronomers and theoretical physicists. Was it fun to be part of this kind of long-running panel discussion to see the way different disciplines use the concept of infinity?
It was really fun because, as you say, infinity is something that people from many disciplines try to talk about because it touches on so many things. And in the end, what I think that says is that we've put artificial boundaries in between disciplines. We say that there's math and there's physics and philosophy separately, but really everything is interconnected. And I think it's kind of wrong for us to split them all up, and it's much better for us all to talk to each other.
Okay, now it seems like every movie these days or TV show has a multiverse. There's like parallel dimensions and things like that. Does the study of infinity, illustrate the idea of different universes, multiple, I guess, an infinity of infinities?
There are so many possible different levels. That's more of a physics thing. But infinity does demonstrate to us that once we start letting in the infinite possibilities, there are so many weird things that can happen. Our human, poor finite human intuition is not that great at understanding infinity. And so one thing that math can help us with is to build logical structures that help us to explore further than our intuition can go. And our imagination can go further than our intuition sometimes. And so that, to me, is one of the powerful aspects of mathematics.
That's a great place to leave it. Eugenia, thanks again for joining us today.
Thank you so much.
That's mathematician Eugenia Chang, scientist in residence at the School of the Art Institute in Chicago. We talked to her about infinity for a finite amount of time. You can watch her if you want in the new Netflix documentary, A Trip to Infinity. Eugenia has a book about infinity, plus a new one coming out next month. It's called The Joy of Abstraction, an exploration of math, category theory, and life. Coming up, technology companies have more access to our private data than ever before. Find out why U.S. law has been slow to protect our privacy online and hear a call to strengthen those protections. First, it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive. Jill Nadeau joins me now. Our goal is to keep bringing you interesting, fascinating topics like our look at infinity. Your support makes it all happen because listener support is the largest source of funding for WPR programs. Give now. Any amount makes a difference at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
Rob, my brain hurts right now trying to
put it in a good way, right?
In a good way, absolutely.
It's like exercise.
It is.
For the brain.
You can actually feel your brain growing when you hear stuff like this. Seriously. make an even greater impact when you give right now, because $25,000 will be released when 500 people, including you, make a gift in support of WPR programs by the end of today.
A group of generous members have created this challenge to inspire your support of the programs that you and your entire community rely on.
So let's meet this challenge. Your gift of any amount makes a difference. WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
You know, throughout the day, we've covered some of the latest political news. We'll be talking about a really important privacy issues coming up, and we've explored the frontiers of mathematics. It's a great variety. You get this kind of variety every day. This day is just one more example of what you count on every day from Central Time.
Absolutely. And you know, WPR is listener supported. So that means that your donation at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 makes the many topics that you tune in for every day possible. So choose an amount that works for you and then make your gift.
Sustaining members provide vital and stable support for Wisconsin Public Radio. If you're already a sustaining member, thank you for your ongoing support. If you're not a sustainer yet, come on right now.
That's right. And as a sustainer, you'll make ongoing automatic monthly payment donations from your bank account or your credit card, and it's really easy to set up. Just go to WPR.org or call 888-202-2552, and you'll feel really good every time you listen, knowing that your support is always current.
You've heard a lot of election coverage on Central Time, on the Ideas Network, and from our news team over the last year. There's more to come before Election Day on November 8th. You value this extensive coverage. It helps you understand the issues and make informed decisions.
WPR and NPR are your sources for reporting and analysis that you need this election season. Your support is vital. You keep our entire community up to date with your gift of at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
As the donor, you get to decide how much to give, and maybe $100 or $200 a month is the right amount for you.
And that might be what you spend every month on takeout or entertainment, for example. The things you enjoy and that make life better, just like listening to WPR. And the important thing is that you decide what amount is right for you. And then make a gift at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
A group of generous members will give $25,000 in challenge funds when 500 people, including you, step up to support the programs you can count on. That's a two-day challenge going to midnight tonight. I think we might be able to do it by the end of this hour.
Oh, I think so too, Rob. I'm so excited because it's getting so close. And you know what? When you give, you can also show off your love for WPR and Wisconsin with your new pair of socks. Just ask for yours when you give $15 a month or for WPR's essential public service. And like WPR, these navy and gold socks, well, they celebrate Wisconsin and the importance of staying informed and connected. So make your gift of $15 a month and ask for yours at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Why don't you make that $15 a month a sustaining gift so it'll keep going and you'll know that your membership in Wisconsin Public Radio is always current. Give at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
David in Wisconsin Rapids says, we have supported WPR since the first member drive way back .. Mary in Fitchburg says, we have donated regularly to WPR for the last decade. Thanks, WPR.
Well, how about you now? A couple longtime supporters there. You could join the team, start a tradition of your own with your gift right now. Online takes just a few minutes at WPR.org or a quick phone call, 888-202-2552, and thank you. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Barrett. Coming up, technology companies have access to a lot of our most personal data, and there's a lot they can do with it. We'll talk to an online privacy expert about how changes in the law could give us back some control over our information. First, it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive. Jill Nadeau joins me to remind you that we count on you to invest a few minutes of time to support your future Wisconsin Public Radio listening.
And that's because listener support makes up the largest piece of funding for the programs that you count on, programs like Central Time. And that's why your gift now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552 is so important.
It's the last day of this two-day challenge. Here's the deal. A group of generous members are going to give $25,000 in matching funds when we hit 500 people giving yesterday and today. By the end of today, we're 22 away from it, waiting for another update. Eyes are glued to that now. You could step up. Help us hit that by supporting the programs you count on.
That's right. And it's their way of encouraging you to join them in supporting WPR, the programs that inform and inspire you and the entire state of Wisconsin.
Your participation right now is a big deal. Be one of the 500 people to meet this challenge before midnight, hopefully in the next 20-some minutes. Whether you've never given before or your monthly sustainer making an extra gift, your contribution will help meet that goal. Join in right now at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552.
You know, because you're listening to Central Time, I bet that what happens in the rest of the world matters to you. And that's why the Ideas Network is so important. We talk with experts in all kinds of fields from all over.
We get the news from around the world to our own backyard. Because you value being an informed citizen, make a gift to the station that keeps you connected at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
It's so easy to spend money every day on things like coffee or takeout. You know, it adds up. It's easy to spend on the things that are part of your routine.
WPR is part of your routine, too. It's your news source, your conversation starter, your place to learn. Spend some money on it today. Start with a dollar a day. That's $30 a month at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
This member drive, ask for the new WPR tote bag. The sturdy, USA-made, natural cotton bag features a vibrant orange and blue design to showcase your love for Wisconsin and WPR. With shoulder-length handles, it's perfect for trips to work, the grocery store, and everywhere in between. Where would you bring your WPR tote bag?
I bring my tote bag to the grocery store and carry all my groceries in it, and I love it.
It's good to take a WPR tote bag to the park and put it in a spot where you know someone else is going to see it, and then they can go, oh, I love WPR, and then maybe you've made everyone's day a little happier.
Where wouldn't I bring my WPR tote? I feel like it's useful everywhere, even if I'm just showing off my WPR.
Ask for the new WPR tote bag with your gift of $10 or more a month. Here's how.
Make your gift. Get that tote bag at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552. It's Central Time. Rob Ferret here with Jill Nadeau. Your support during this fall member drive makes the WPR programs you count on possible. Your gift of $10 or $20 a month, whatever amount you choose, really does make a difference.
We know that you value your time, and we value your time, too. So giving to Wisconsin Public Radio, it just takes a few minutes. Tell us your name, contact information, how much you want to give, and how you'd like to pay.
It's quick and easy to do. Your gift right now really does help. Take the next few minutes to support the station you count on at WPR.org or 888-202-2552.
And remember, after you've made your donation to WPR, you can make your gift go further by telling your friends and family.
Whether you use the social medias, you call them up, you mention it when you see them in person, let them know that you support news, talk, and entertainment here on Wisconsin Public Radio. Make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552, and then help inspire the other WPR fans in your life to do the same.
Absolutely. Our member challenge is still in effect. Don't forget, when 500 people make a gift for WPR, $25,000 from generous members will be secured for the WPR programs that you rely on.
You can help us get over the top during this hour still, and you can support great conversations now and into the future. Give right now online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552, and thank you so much for your support. It's Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. In the online world, it can feel like privacy is a lost cause. Technology companies find out a lot about us, everything from our health data to dating site info to private messages with romantic partners aren't entirely our own. And there's a growing problem with non-consensual pornography, with our most private moments captured, posted online, used sometimes for extortion, humiliation, and abuse. Our next guest says we have yet to grasp the scale of that invasion of our intimate privacy and that U.S. law often fails to keep up. She calls for elevating that privacy as a fundamental right and turning to civil rights law as a way to give us back control over our own information. Danielle Citrin is a distinguished professor of law at the University of Virginia, where she teaches about privacy, free expression, and civil rights. She's director of the university's Law Tech Center. Her newest book is The Fight for Privacy, Protecting Dignity, Identity, and Love in the Digital Age. It's out next week, available now for pre-order. Danielle, welcome back to Central Time.
Thank you so much for having me back.
The book centers around this concept of intimate privacy. What do you mean by that?
So it's the privacy, it's information and access to our bodies, our health, our innermost thoughts, which of course we don't realize, but we document all day long on our, you know, our reading, our browsing, our searching, all of our digital communications, and then our closest relationships.
We, I think, sometimes accept a loss of privacy as the price of entry into the online world. Does it have to be that way?
It doesn't have to be, and it shouldn't be. You know, we, you know, go to the restroom and use hotel, you know, bedrooms and bathrooms, and we kind of all the while we expect and we deserve privacy around our, you know, our bodies and our, you know, our physical selves. And the same is true when we, you know, use search engines to figure out medicines that we want to take, or we look and we read on WebMD about our health conditions. At the same time, we are expecting privacy and we deserve privacy, but so often we don't get it.
You just mentioned a couple of the main categories you focus on in your book. I want to start with that second one, the information that gets accumulated on us when we use reward points at a pharmacy or do a medical search or participate in a dating site. You talk about when people go and get information that's collected by these data companies we haven't heard of. Can you talk about how extensive a dossier exists, probably about each and every one of us at this point?
Oh, yeah. So I would say that most, there are about 10,000 data brokers, and about 98% of all Americans have dossiers held by these companies, and they have over 10,000 data points on each and every one of us. Now, you might say to me, like, how is that possible? I'm not that interesting. But what is, you know, everything that we do, all the traces of our online lives, whether it's the, you know, our activities on our dating and our health apps, our searches, our location, where we're going, tells us a story about, you know, we're ranked and rated and scored. Have we ever been a rape victim? Have we ever had terminated a pregnancy, had a miscarriage? Have we ever had, you know, high blood pressure? What's our risk of getting a chronic disease, like, let's say, type 1 diabetes or type 2 diabetes? And so data brokers are have data points that suggest so many different aspects of our lives, our sexual orientation, our deepest interest, whether we're sex toy users, how often we use adult sites. The list goes on and on. I'm just trying to give some, sure, you know, some examples, right, of just how invasive, how much of a story data broker dossiers tell about us in ways that we would never kind of expect and in ways that we have no control over.
Okay, now we worry sometimes about a data breach, right? All that stuff falling into the wrong hands illegally. Set that aside. Who are the customers for this data? What are people legally doing with these massive troves of data about all of us?
Some of the biggest clients of data brokers are law enforcement. So state, federal, and local law enforcement. Using it to detect all crimes, all hazards, and all risks. And of course, not just law enforcement, but employers, life insurance companies, hiring services. There are third-party hiring services that detect, you know, that sort of run their algorithms through vast databases of resumes. Those hiring services, so not the employers themselves, are making recommendations to employers about the people to hire. So it's, you know, you name the industry, besides advertisers and marketers, they're buying those data broker dossiers.
What kind of legal changes would you like to see, or maybe changes in the way companies do business that give us, I don't know, more say, more control over where all that data gets used?
So I want to move us away from the notion that sort of control is the answer and for us to understand intimate information in our intimate lives as implicating, you know, a moral right, a fundamental human right and civil right, which would mean that rather than kind of leaving it up to individuals and consumers to make choices, which at scale we really can't do, it's really hard with, you know, the 10,000 data brokers are just the tip of the iceberg of the extent to which our information is being collected, you know, used and sold. And so if we understood intimate privacy as a civil right, that would sort of, right now our presumption is that you can collect anything you want, you can share it, and you can use it so long as you have some warning in your privacy policy that frankly no one reads, you know, in the bottom of your web page. I'd like us to flip that presumption. If we understood our intimate data as implicating our civil rights, that is the rights that all of us enjoy and have important structural protections against discrimination, what that would mean is that when a powerful entity has power over our civil rights, it means that that entity is understood as the caretaker of those rights. They're the stewards of those rights. And so you can't, if you understand intimate privacy as implicating our civil rights, it would mean that anyone, individuals, companies, governments, interacting with our intimate information would have to be the guardians of that data. And some of the time that would mean you can't collect it. You can't collect, you know, if you're a data guardian, if you don't strictly need data, you need a darn good reason to implicate and to undermine intimate privacy. So if you don't have a good reason to collect data, then you just shouldn't collect it. And it would also mean a civil right to intimate privacy would also mean that the guardians, so individuals, companies, governments, would have to treat that data with a duty of loyalty to us and care and with protections against discrimination.
We're talking to Danielle Citrin, author of the new book, The Fight for Privacy, Protecting Dignity, Identity, and Love in the Digital Age. Danielle, another big focus of the book is on non-consensual pornography. It is a shorthand that covers a lot of ground. Can you talk about what that is and how prevalent it is?
Sure. So the non-consensual invasions of our intimate privacy can cover things like non-consensual taping someone in the bedroom or bathroom. It can cover extorting nude images from someone, sort of threatening to release your intimate images. Upskirt, down blouse photos, so taking a photo up your skirt without your permission. It can include the non-consensual disclosure of intimate information. Often, as you said, well, you know, describe this as non-consensual pornography. It's sort of the best shorthand term we have for it. And in all of those ways, and many others, one's intimate images or intimate life is being invaded and violated without their permission. And when that information, often their, you know, intimate images are posted online, it can be really difficult to both get and keep a job. Your peace of mind is shot, your sense of safety. When, you know, your nude images are posted online, you often sort of think of yourself as being kind of, people see you as just a fragment of yourself. You know, you're just your genitals, you're just your, you know, breasts. And it can be really hard to have that sense of safety and security back.
And you talk to people who had been victims of various kinds of things you just mentioned. And one problem seems to be law enforcement and the law, in large part, really haven't kept up with this and offer not a lot of options to someone who's a victim.
That's right. So, you know, folks go, so I interviewed 60 people from the United States, mostly the United Kingdom, Iceland, India, and Australia. And I have to say, our response or lack of response in the United States, they're the same problems across the globe. And unfortunately, very similar sort of failure to respond from law enforcement across the globe. And it is kind of a combination of lack of training with regard to laws and the fact that so many, to the extent that law covers non-consensual intimate, you know, abusive intimate images, it's a misdemeanor. And it's just not worth law enforcement's time to do anything about it. And then you might think, okay, well, what about the platforms? You know, they're going to respond either to, you know, to lawsuits and pressure, but they're immune from responsibility thanks to Section 230 of the Decency Act. So it's victims often say to me and have said to me, they just feel like so unprotected because they turn to law enforcement and they're told nothing can be done. They even consider suing their attackers to the extent that they know who they are, and they don't have money to sue. And most lawyers aren't, you know, don't provide low bono or pro bono services for this kind of work. And there's no deep pocket. And so it's really difficult to get a lawyer to represent you on a contingency basis. You know, they would if there's a deep pocket, but not here. You know, platforms are totally immune from responsibility for the most part. And so there are 9,500 sites whose raison d'etre is intimate image abuse. And, you know, they make money from the collection of data and advertising and some subscription services. Like, they have very uncreative names like Hidden Cam and Hidden Camera or Mr. Deepfakes. And they make money off, you know, out of exploiting people's intimate, you know, the most intimate moments and exploiting them.
You share one success story in the book, getting search engines to not point toward searches toward those sites you just mentioned. Can you talk about how that happened?
Yes, it's, you know, whenever you write about something that has great frustration for most people who undergo intimate privacy violations, there are some bright stories. So I worked with then Attorney General Kamala Harris. In 2015, she put together a cyber exploitation task force, and she gathered companies together. You know, she was in Silicon Valley, and so 50 companies came together to meet to talk about the exploitation of people's nude images without their consent. And so often the complaint to AG Harris and to me was, we want these images out of searches in our names. And at the time at this meeting, you know, Google was saying, listen, we don't touch our search engine. We will, there's nothing we're going to do to our algorithms to address this problem. And after the work of the task force and Google joining that effort along with Microsoft, so Microsoft Bing, in about 6 months after, you know, as we were doing our work, Google and Bing announced, as well as Yahoo, that they would de-index non-consensual intimate images in searches of people's names. Now, the images would still remain online. They'd still be on those, you know, vile sites devoted to intimate image abuse. But it wouldn't be in a search of their name so that, you know, future dates, future employers, friends, you know, so often people Google you before they ever meet you. And so it was such a relief to victims to have some sense that at least it could, they could minimize some of the damage.
And briefly, as we wrap up, Danielle, that is one of a handful of examples where you say it's worth people fighting to make these changes because they do happen.
That's right. I mean, we have seen progress, not only with regards to law enforcers like when A.G. Harris, but also we've seen legislative promise in countries like South Korea, sort of wholesale reform of their laws and support for victims. So I have to say, I know I can be a bit of a Pollyanna, but I'm not giving up hope. I think, you know, if together we can pressure companies to bring our sort of moral suasion to bear, and we can work on lawmakers to make a difference.
Danielle, thanks again for joining us.
Thank you so much.
That's Danielle Citrin, law professor at the University of Virginia. We talked about her new book out next week. It's called The Fight for Privacy, Protecting Dignity, Identity, and Love in the Digital Age. Now it's the Wisconsin Public Radio Fall Member Drive. Jill Nadeau joins me. You count on the Ideas Network for great conversations. It's your gift of any amount that makes these conversations possible. Listener support is the largest source of funding for WPR programs. That's why your support at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 really does make a difference.
And you remember we had that two-day challenge for 500 people, and if they contributed, we were getting an additional $25,000. Remember that, Rob?
I do. I have a vague memory of talking
you
about
do.
That. Yeah.
Great long-term memory. Well, we are so excited to announce that the $25,000 challenge was met.
Oh, fantastic.
Isn't that wonderful?
Well,
thank you so much to more than 500 people who joined in to meet that special two-day challenge. And this is just wonderful news because listener support, your support, is the largest source of funding for the WPR programs that you rely on.
If you missed your chance to get in on that challenge, still time, you can add in and get us up over 500 and just blow past this challenge. Make your gift at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Just had a interesting, I think really important conversation about our data, our personal information, our images, for that matter, how vulnerable they are in the online world, even if we don't really go online all that often, and some hope from our guest that, yes, things can be better. It's an example of the kind of conversation with problems and possible solutions we bring you all the time on Central Time.
It was a wonderful conversation, Rob, and some in such important information that we may not even think about sometimes. And it all comes to pass because WPR is listener supported, and that means that your donation at WPR.org or 888-202-2552 makes the many topics you tune in for every day possible. So choose an amount that works for you, then make your gift.
I have a husband and three sons, and we're all very avid listeners. We feel that Wisconsin Public Radio provides objective and informative information about what's going on in the community. It certainly is a station where you can call in, and you know that for sure that if you have an opposing viewpoint, that it's going to be broadcast because this is public radio. I'm Joan Rudnitsky, and Wisconsin Public Radio is my source for objective information and entertainment.
Make your gift of support for Wisconsin Public Radio right now at WPR.org or 888-202-2552. Central Time, the Fall Member Drive, Rob Ferret here with Jill Nadeau. The WPR programs you enjoy are possible thanks to your support. Your gift of $10 a month or $100 a month, you pick the amount. Either way, it makes a big difference.
Your gift right now says, I value this program. I want more of it. It makes me think. It makes me laugh. Well, you fill in the blank with how you feel when you hear this show. Those are powerful feelings. And you make a powerful statement when you support what you value, what you believe in. So give now at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
The programs you hear on WPR make a difference in your life. That's why you're listening right now. Why you listen maybe every day. During the Fall Member Drive, we're asking you to support your radio home.
Listeners who value public radio give what they can to support it, and that's how it works. If you're already a member, well, thank you for making Wisconsin Public Radio possible. If you're not a member yet, today's the day to become one. So make your first ever gift. Maybe it's just $100. Well, maybe it's $10 a month. Well, give any amount that's right for you at WPR.org or at 888-202-2552.
Support the great conversations you count on online at WPR.org or call 888-202-2552, and thank you.